سورة مباركة الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب العصر والزمان. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, one loud salawat please. Over the past nights, we've been going over the steps in spiritual progression as embodied in the Ziyarat of Aminullah. And as we mentioned on the initial night, that Ziyarat Aminullah is one of the most authoritative visitation rites that we have taught to us by the Ahlul Bayt, and specifically by our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn, alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And tonight we want to continue in this discussion. We completed our discussion last night on the importance of the dua, of not only reciting a supplication, not only making dua, but rather to be a community of believers that are in love with conversing with Allah, who have a desire to be in communication with Allah. And as the Imam had mentioned, that we are those who have this close love and attention to reciting not only the dhikr of Allah, but also the du'as towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This evening, I want to continue in the words of our Imam and see what he has in store for another trait that we need to be working on within ourselves if we want to get closer to Allah, to the Messenger of Allah, and to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalatu wassalam. And tonight, we want to look at the topic of love. Now, love obviously in itself is a very deep word. It is only four letters in the English alphabet. But we'll see in just the very brief discussion that we have tonight that there is a lot that we need to understand about this concept of love. People have said that love starts off as an illogical emotional act. It's a emotion that we have that is brought about by having an infatuation with somebody or something at the very first level, at the initial stage of love. It seems to be very irrational, very, something that you can't really put your finger on what it means. And then they say that once that honeymoon phase is over, once we have come out of that stage of the infatuation of love, then we get to what they call a logical love, a true love. And they say that the true love, the love built upon logic, not just our emotional love, that form of love remains forever. And it's very difficult to break the bonds of love when it's built on a logical foundation. With emotions change with human beings. One day we're in one state, tomorrow we change our states. And so if love is built upon just an emotional attachment to somebody or something or some product or commodity, it's very easy for that love to slip away from us when something else can takes its place. And we see that in the world around us with even consumer goods. We purchase something that we think will make us happy. We buy a new product in the market. So many companies market different things to us, and we buy it, and we love it, and we use it, and we make use of this thing. And then a few months later, the next version comes out with more features. And so we leave the first thing and go to something else. This is what we look at as being a temporary love. But what we want to look at tonight in the lights of the words of our fourth Imam is what he calls this mahabba, this love for the chosen servants of Allah, the close individuals who are the closest individuals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously in our case, it will be none other than Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhim wassalatu wassalam. As I mentioned, that love is an emotion, it's a sentiment, it's a feeling that we have. But even if you go and you Google the word love and what does love mean, you'll see that there's really no clear-cut definition of what this word means. We know how to express love. So for example, as men in the audience, when we come home from work, we'll bring our wife a bouquet of roses, we'll bring her some chocolates, maybe a diamond ring, to express our love to our wife. And if we're not doing that, hopefully we will start to get into a habit of expressing our love to our spouse. Because the Messenger of Allah has said in the hadith that the statement of a man to his wife when he says, I love you, that would never leave the woman's heart. So we as believers have to be those who express love, especially to our spouse, to our children, to our family. And that form of love, emotional, sentimental love, that deep down love will never leave the heart of our spouse, our children, our family on a whole. But when you try to define what is love, again, it's only four letters, it's a very small word, but trying to put it into a understanding, a comprehension of what love is very difficult. And again, you can look at this from many different aspects. Ask the experts of sociology and people who, you know, delve into emotions of the human being to how do you define this concept of love. And they'll give you examples of what love is manifest, how you manifest love, but what is an actual definition of what it means to love somebody. We know that attraction to somebody is a form of love. So for example, when I say I love my spouse, I love my mother, I love my father, I love my children, all of these are things that we are loving, but we also realize that they are loved at a different level. So when I say I love my wife, I don't have the same love for my wife as I have for my mother. If I love my daughter, it's not the same love I have for, let's say, a favorite sport I like to play. If I say I love a particular kind of food, it's not the same kind of love that I have, let's say, for my religion. So there are different types of love that a person has in their lives. And there are a lot of different factors which would influence how that love is manifest and how deep it goes within the heart of an individual. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. But one of the realities that we see in Islam, and probably all of the divinely revealed religions, is that love is a concept that Allah has put into everything within existence. In the animal kingdom, there is a form of love, although it may be of a nature which is not necessarily based on emotions, but on their creation, how Allah has created them. But when we look at human beings, we obviously are given this trait to love based upon not only a programming by Allah, but based upon our intellect. You know, there's a beautiful story of one time to show you how love is even within the animal kingdom. There's a story that happens at the time of the final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And the story mentions that one day one of the Sahaba, one of the noble companions of Rasulullah, he was walking through an area which had a lot of trees, a lot of greenery. And as he's walking through this, he hears the chirping of some birds. And he begins to look around where he's at, and he sees in the top of a tree, there's a nest. And he either ascends the tree or he gets to where that nest is. And he looks inside the nest and he sees there's three or four little baby birds in the nest. There's no mother in the immediate vicinity, but there are little babies in the nest. And for some reason, he was curious. He took those birds out of their nest, out of that comfort zone that they were in that protective enclosure that their parents had created. And he puts the birds in a little sack and he begins to go on his way. He goes on his way and he meets the Messenger of Allah. And he greets the messenger, he says salam to him, and he opens up this bag. And there are four little baby birds in the bag. And they began chirping, chirping, making lots of loud noises. And a few seconds later, another bird begins to fly near them, maybe the mother or the father of these four little babies. And the prophet, speaking to this individual, he realizes that this man took these babies away from where they belonged, and that this bird was, again, either the mother or the father. And the prophet said that, you know, that this, what you see, this mother who is flying so far away and following you to take her, to get her babies back, the prophet says that this mother bird has more, that Allah has more love for us as human beings than this mother has for these four little baby infant birds. Showing us that even within the animal kingdom, there is this concept of love. Again, it may be a built-in phenomenon within them, not based on emotions and intellect as you and I have, but that Allah has even put love within that mother. And so the prophet then tells this individual that go back and put these babies back in their nest. Don't disturb them. They need the love of their mother. And so obviously the man complies with the messenger of Allah, and he goes and puts them back. But this shows us that love is something very intimate and very needed in the world. And even the animals go to this extent. And it also shows us that how the Prophet mentions that Allah's love for you and I is even greater than that of that mother bird. Imagine that she was willing to fly to whatever length she had to protect her children. The Prophet says Allah has even more love and affection for you and I as believers, as human beings, than that animal has for her offspring. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So even within our lives, we have love for many different things. We love our sports teams, we love our football teams, our cricket teams. Maybe we have a love for a particular type of food. We love technology. We have all of these loves. And one of the things that we see, though, in our lives is that the more that we have love for something in this material world, the more that we want to be around it, the more that we want to emulate it. You know, young men or young ladies who like a particular sport team, and you have a particular sport personality within that team, we tend to want to wear the same shoes that they wear. So if Michael Jordan wears a pair of sneakers, we want to go and buy the same shoes that he wears. If our favorite team is wearing red as their color of their jersey, then we want to wear the same color. We want to have their pictures on our wall. We have their picture on our phone. We always want to be in their presence. We always want to be reminded of them. We always want to be, you know, close to who these individuals are, because we have a level of love, albeit maybe very superficial and very temporary, but it is a form of love that we have for these individuals. Now, is this love right or wrong? I won't go into that tonight. But we have these sorts of love within our lives. So we see that this is a human trait, that we want to always be attached and connected and have love for somebody or something within our lives. But what we appreciate is that one of the things that we have to put within ourselves is that when we have that love, is that we try to attach ourselves to that individual, to that personality, to that ideology, such that it really encompasses our entire life. So as the fourth imam mentions in this part of the ziyarat, he says that we should have mahabba, we should have this deep, intense love for the chosen servants of Allah, for the Prophet, for Lady Zahra, and the 12 imams from the progeny of Ali and Fatima, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And so when we look at this concept of love within Islam, we see that it is not just that very first form that we mentioned in the beginning. It's not a superficial love. It's not just to say, I love you, to the Imam, or to the Prophet, or to any member of the Ahlul Bayt. It's not enough just to pay them lip service. Rather, it has to go a step further in how we interact with them, how we put them in the position that they actually deserve within our own lives. There is a beautiful event that happens in the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. Ya Allah, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And it's beautiful on many fronts. So the story begins that Imam Ali alayhi salam is playing with his daughter, Lady Zainab, alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And that in itself is a beauty, that Imam Ali took time out of his life. He was the Khalifa, he was the Imam, he was a warrior, he was a poet, he was a composer of supplications. He had so many aspects to his life. But one of the aspects we don't really hear about or think about is that he was a father. He was truly a father there for his children. He played with Imam Hassan and Hussein alayhum as-salam. He played with Lady Zainab. He had time for his children. He had time for the community. He would play games with them, just as the Prophet would play games. We've all heard the story of Rasulullah in the masjid, and he's leading Jamaat prayers, and one of his grandsons, either Imam Hassan or Hussein alayhum as-salam, or both of them, jump on his back in the middle of prayers. And he doesn't just shoo them away. He deals with them in a very loving and kinding way. There are even stories where the Prophet would be walking to Masjid Nabawi to lead the Salat. The Adhan would be going on. Bilal or whoever would be giving the Adhan would be on the minaret or in the Masjid making the Adhan. And a group of children would run around the Prophet wanting him to play with them. On one hand, it's the Adhan time. It's the time to connect to Allah. On the other hand, these young children who don't, no, they don't really understand this concept. They just want to play and have fun. They want to play with the Prophet. And so the story mentions that he takes a few minutes while the Adhan is going to sit and play a game with these young kids. And in the middle of playing the game, he gets them preoccupied in that game such that they can continue on their own. And he says, I'll come back after the prayers. I'll come back when the prayers are done. And he goes and he does his obligation, he prays, he leads the Jamaat congregation. And then he comes and continues to play with these young boys in the streets of Medina. It's beautiful when we think about it and we reflect on our own lives sometimes. You know, we come to the center and maybe our children run around a bit, they're a bit rowdy, and we tell them to be quiet and we force them to sit down and we force them in these, you know, to sit for 2, 3, 4 hours. Not expecting them to be silent and quiet and not to be fidgety. When many times us as adults, we become fidgety after the Mawlana's more than 20 minutes is up and we start to take our phones out and do this and do that, but we expect our children not to be so anxious. So we see that we also have to give that love to our children, especially when they're in the center. Yes, there's a time for the prayer. There's a time to be quiet, to listen, to be, you know, attentive. But also we have to make space for our children. This is their future home. They are the future leaders of our community. And if we're going to distance them from the masjid when they're young and tell them, be quiet, sit in the corner, do this, don't do that, then how will they actually develop a love to come to the centers, to hear the majalis, to actually be involved in these centers and our programs that we're having? And if we see that many of our youth around the world, not here, but around the world, wherever we go, if we see that our youth are no longer in the masjid, don't blame satellite TV, don't blame the internet, but maybe we look at ourselves and what we have done to keep them within our communities, to keep them within the majalis, to keep them within the gatherings and the remembrance of Ali Muhammad alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So Amir al-Mu'mineen is playing with his daughter, Lady Zainab. Father and daughter relationship, so important in Islam. Again, there are books written about this topic. Articles have been written on the father and his role within the family. The father is not just the ATM, the cash machine. The father just doesn't go to work and earn money and then pay the bills and that's it. He has to be active within the life of his daughter, of his son, of the family. He has to be there when the children are growing up. He has to be active in the family, playing that role as a father. Being a father doesn't just mean you make a child, because anybody can make a child. Science can make a baby in a test tube. That doesn't make the test tube a father. The father has to be there as an active participant in the growth of their children. So Amir al-Mu'mineen is playing with Lady Zainab, and she's asked a question. She asks that, or she rather asks her father that, do you love me? And obviously Imam Ali says, yes, of course I love you, my dear daughter. And then she says, how can you love me when you claim to love Allah? How can you love me when you claim to love Allah? You can't have the love of two within your heart, because even the Quran says that Allah has not made in the heart of any man the love for two. So she says, you can't love me and Allah at the same time. You have to choose between us. She was playing a game with her father. Obviously, she knows, I'm sure, much more than we give them credit for. So she says this, and then Amir al-Mu'mineen follows it up, and he says, I love you through the love of Allah. So my love, Imam Ali says, for you, Lady Zainab, is through the love of Allah. Allah is my ultimate love. Allah is the true love I have. As the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are more intense. They are just at the pinnacles of their love of Allah. So when Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I love you, my daughter Zainab, he is loving her because he loves Allah. And Allah has said to love your family, to love this, to love that, to love all of these things. And so even us in our discussion tonight, when we say that we love Allah, or we love Rasulullah, or we love Amir al-Mu'mineen, or we love the Ahlul Bayt, or we love our families, we do it knowing that all of these things are individuals that Allah has told us to love. And so we love them through the connection that they give us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. But obviously at the same time, love has conditions. Love is not unconditional. It's not that I just make a statement, I email my wife and I say, I love you, dear, and then that's it. And then I don't treat her with respect. I don't show her love or compassion. I'm not, you know, merciful to her. I'm not considerate to her emotions or feelings. No, love is obviously, that emotion of love has to be manifest and it has to be shown. It has to be acted upon. And so that's why probably in the Quran, when Allah tells us in Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, telling the Prophet to tell you and I, "Kul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni." يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. The Prophet tells us, he says, if you love Allah, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me, follow the Messenger. And what would happen is Allah would reciprocate with that love. Allah would love us, and he would forgive us our sins. So love is not just that we love, and then we just use it as a verbal declaration, and then we don't express that love. And again, we look at our own lives. When we love our children, we want to show that love to them. Maybe we'll buy them a gift. We'll go on vacation with them. We'll, you know, go in the park and spend some time with them, playing with them. When we say we love our spouse, for the wife, for the husband, and vice versa, that love is not just a verbal declaration. We have to actually follow it up with some form of action, some tangible action in our lives to actually show that love. But when we come to the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, as the fourth Imam says, that our love should be such for the close chosen servants of Allah, we see that first of all in this verse I mentioned, that Allah says if we love Allah, to follow the Prophet. Now following the Prophet obviously is a very big discussion. How do we follow Rasulullah? How do we implement the sunnah of Rasulullah within our lives? But one of the true realities of the Quran is that one of the traditions of the Prophet, one of the sunnahs of the Prophet, was that he loved his family. The Prophet, without a doubt, loved his family. And when people would come to all of the previous prophets, Prophet Musa and Ibrahim and all of these great men of God, and they would ask the Prophet, what can we do for you? You gave us a message, you gave us a book, the Torah, the Injil, you gave us this, you gave us that. What can we do for you? And every prophet, you look in the Quran and you'll see this repeated time after time after time. Every prophet would tell their own community, I don't want nothing from you. I don't want anything from you. Whatever you want to give, it's basically for Allah. I've come, I've delivered a message. Don't give me dollars and pounds and dinars and dirham. I don't want your money. There is nothing that I want from you. But there's one exception to the rule, one exception to the 124,000 prophets, that when the final messenger comes with the final religion, with the final book, with this final set of teachings for humanity, and the muhajirun, the ansar, would come to Rasulullah in Medina, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, you've gone through 23 years of struggles. You've been spat on. You've been insulted. You've been called a madman, a lunatic, a poet, a magician. People have, you know, done the worst forms of abuse to you. You know, they've treated you so unjustly. What can we give you as a compensation for your 23 years? And Rasulullah, he was actually told, don't give that same answer the previous nations gave. So that shows that we have another responsibility. So what did the Prophet say? He didn't just say, you know what, leave it to Allah. He'll compensate me on the Day of Judgment. He will, obviously. But he says in the Quran, كُلَّا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا مَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I ask you no reward for this message, for 23 years of inviting to this path, except that you have love for my family, for the close members of my family. And we know who those members are: Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein, alayhum as-salatu was-salam. And you can look in all of the major commentaries of the Quran under this verse, from all of the different factions within Islam, and you'll see that all of them will mention these four individuals by name, not just a reference, but they will say that the Prophet mentioned these four individuals, the Ahlul Kisa, by name. That if we want to actually give any reward to the Prophet, it's not dollars, not pounds, it's not anything except for love of his immediate family members, those people that he specified and mentioned by name, because many people claim to be of the family of the Prophet. Many of the individuals, including the wives of Rasulullah, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they said, we are family of the Prophet. And actually, even they didn't say that. They're followers after them. Because even when, for example, the verse of purification comes to Rasulullah, chapter 33, verse 33, even the wives of the Prophet knew that they were out of bounds of this verse, that they did not fit within the commentary and explanation of this verse. So even when the verse was coming, and Rasulullah was gathering the people under the blanket, and Umm al-Mu'mineen, comes to Rasulullah, and she says, am I included in your family? Are we the wives in your family? He says, no, you are on the path of goodness, but you're not a part of the people who are purified in this particular verse of the Quran. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I'm going to end with one tradition. It's a bit lengthy, so I'll take a few minutes to recite it. This is a beautiful hadith which comes from our non-Shia commentators of the Quran. In his tafsir of the Quran, Al-Zamakhshari, in his tafsir Al-Kashaf, he narrates a very lengthy tradition about the status of loving the family of the Prophet. And this shows us that love of Rasulullah's family is not limited to only followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhum as-salam. Hopefully we have the greatest show of love. And for those who are out today in downtown Leicester, you knew that this Who is Hussein campaign and the procession that we had was probably one of the best manifestations of love of Ali Muhammad. For hundreds of the community members to walk in the cold with banners in front of total strangers, inviting them to learn about Hussein, that really, to me, is a show of love of Ali Muhammad, because it's easy to come to the hall and sit and listen to a majlis for an hour and have some chai and go home. But it's difficult to go into the streets and meet a non-Muslim and ask them, do you know Hussein? Do you know who the Ahlul Bayt are? And to talk to them and give them da'wah and outreach and explain to them who the family of the Prophet is, that's difficult. And that's really what true love is about. It's easy to cry and lament and beat our chest for Hussein and say, Ya laytini kuntu ma'akum fa'afuza fawzan azima. Yeah, I wish I was there, but I wasn't alive 1,354 years ago. But I'm alive today in 2015, and I could be with Hussein by giving the message of Hussein to the community at large who don't have Hussein within their lives, who need a man like Hussein in their lives, who need a family like the family of the Prophet, and who need a man like our 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, within their lives today. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So what does this Sunni commentator of the Quran say? He has it's a lengthy chain of short hadith about the family of the Prophet. He begins by quoting, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ شَهِيدًا. Whoever dies on the love of Ali Muhammad dies as a shaheed, as a martyr. Imagine the status of the Shuhada of Karbala. We're going to talk about Habib ibn Madahir tonight and another companion tomorrow until the day of Ashura. These are Shuhada, martyrs for the sake of Allah. Al-Zamakhshari says, if you die on the love of Ali Muhammad, you die as a martyr. So we weren't in Karbala, we weren't in Badr or Khaybar or Khandak or Siffin or Nahrawan or Jamal, but we have the ability to earn a reward as those people by having and instilling within our lives love of Ali Muhammad alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. He then says, Allah, wa man mata ala hubbi Ali Muhammad mata maghfuran lahu. Whoever dies on the love of Ali Muhammad dies forgiven of their sins. Dies forgiven of their sins. So all of those negative actions we may have had on our record, those are wiped out of the lover of Ali Muhammad. وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ مَاتَ تَائِبًا. One who dies on the love of Ali Muhammad dies as one who has been forgiven, who has asked for forgiveness and been forgiven for their sins. He says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ مَاتَ مُؤْمِنًا مُسْتَكْمِلَ الْإِيمَانِ. If you die on the love of Ali Muhammad, you die as one who has completed their iman, whose faith is complete. Now, what does that mean to have complete faith? I don't think any definition in any book can tell us what complete faith is. In the hadith, we know that, for example, Salman was at the top level of iman, and Abu Dharr was one stage below him, although Abu Dharr was a great sahabi of Rasulullah, and he was only one stage below Salman. Salman is at the top of iman. So maybe he is the manifestation of complete faith, or maybe there are more stages above him. Again, there is no clear definition. But the hadith says, if we die on the love of Ali Muhammad, we have died with complete perfection in our faith, in our iman. He then says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ مَاتَ بَشَّرُهُ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْجَنَّةِ ثُمَّ مُنْكِرْ وَنَكِيرْ. If we die on the love of Ali Muhammad, we will receive the glad tidings of the angel of death that we're going straight to paradise. And the two angels, our angels that write our deeds, or the angels in our grave, will also give us the glad tidings. For us, it's difficult. Again, it's so hard to worship Allah, to submit to His orders. We aren't sure if we are guaranteed paradise. But He says, if you love Ali Muhammad, and again, not a superficial temporary love, but a deep, intense love where we follow their teachings to the core, and we die in that state, then we get the good tidings of being entered into paradise. Then he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ يَزِفُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ كَمَا تَزِفُ الْأُرُوسِ إِلَى بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. If you die on the love of Ali Muhammad, you will enter paradise just as a bride enters into the home of her new husband. And I'm sure those who have been married, who are married, and the sisters who have been married, you know with what grand pomp and celebration you go into the house, into your new home. You have your family with you, you have a beautiful wedding dress on, and the family are there to welcome you, and there's all that love and happy and celebration in the air. So he says, when you love Ali Muhammad and you die in that way and you enter into paradise, it'll be as a massive grand celebration that paradise is waiting for Ali Muhammad's lovers to come into its gates, to be welcomed into the gates of paradise. And then he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ فُتِحَ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ بَابًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever dies on the love of Ali Muhammad, that two doors for paradise will be opened for this individual. There are different definitions of how many doors there are for paradise. Some say seven, some say eight. This one gives us the indication of two doors. And again, what that means is up to Allah and to the Messenger what the definition of this means. But definitely it's something of a lofty status to be able to enter into paradise in this format. And then he says, مَنْ مَاتَ لَحُبِّ عَلِ مُحَمَّدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ قَبْرَهُ مَزَارَ مَلَائِكَةِ الرَّحْمَةِ. If you die on the path of love of Ali Muhammad, your grave becomes a mazar, a haram, a visiting point of the angels of mercy. So we go to the mazar of Sayyid al-Shuhada and we make dua. We go to the mazar of Lady Zainab, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of Imam Radha alayhim salam, and we make dua there. If we die on the love of Ali Muhammad, angels will come to our grave. Our grave will be a spot of ziyarat for the angels of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And then he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ عَلَى سُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. If you die on the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, you die on the sunnah and the jama'at. But then he mentions a few points, and we will end with this. What happens if you have the hatred of Ali Muhammad in our hearts? Unfortunately, we know many so-called Muslims in the world today, they don't come out and say it openly that they hate Ali Muhammad, but you can tell in their character. You can tell in the way that they deal with the lovers of Ali Muhammad how much they hate the family of the Prophet. We've, I'm sure, heard those sayings and those sermons of speakers in many parts of the world that mock the Ahlul Bayt, that speak bad about the Ahlul Bayt, that speak vile words against the Ahlul Bayt. And our ulama tell us that if you ever come across a Muslim who has hatred, who is a nasibi towards Ahlul Bayt, they may pray all day, they may fast, they may go for Hajj, but they are as najis as any other complete disbeliever out there. They may have a halal butcher shop in town, they may have a restaurant that has a big halal sign, and halal authority which is monitoring their halal process. But if they have hatred for Ali Muhammad, guess what? Their meat is haram to eat. And you can refer to the Risala of your Marja to see this fatwa. It's clearly there. You hate Ali Muhammad, you're as najis as a piece of pork. Maybe even more than that. Your meat you slaughter is no longer fit for our consumption. So to hate Ali Muhammad is not just, you know, it's not a simple thing in this dunya. It has an impact in this dunya and also in the akhirat, in the eyes of Allah. But Al-Zamakhshiri quotes a hadith. He says, "Man mata ala bughdhi Ali Muhammad," whoever dies with the hatred of Ali Muhammad in their lives, "Ja'a yawm al-qiyamati maktuban bayna aynayhi ayisun min rahmatillah." When you die with the hatred of Ali Muhammad, it will be written between your eyes on your forehead that you are now despondent of the mercy of Allah, of the forgiveness of Allah. And he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى بُغْضِ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ مَاتَ كَافِرًا. If you die with hatred for Ali Muhammad, you die as a kafir. Not as a, you know, anything else, one with lower iman, but you're out of the fold of Islam. So that is an indication of the severity that love plays towards the family of the Prophet. And at the end, he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى بُغْضِ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ لَمْ يَشُمُّ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. And if you die with the hatred of Ali Muhammad, you die and you will never, ever smell the fragrance of paradise. Again, you can be the best performer of your prayers. You can go to Hajj every year. You can fast the month of Ramadan. You can do all of these beautiful actions. But to reject the family of the Prophet, a non-Shia is saying that you die equivalent to not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not our words. These are the words of our brothers who quote these hadith. And so we see the importance of love of Ali Muhammad. But we end and we just remind ourselves that love is not superficial. Love does not just mean, I say, I love Ali Muhammad. I beat my chest for Sayyid al-Shuhada. I cry for Lady Fatima. I lament for Rasulullah. I grieve for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Love means we take all of their teachings within our lives and we implement them as much as we can. Love otherwise is a very superficial, emotional love, and it can break very easily. But if our love is built upon a true understanding of Ali Muhammad and understanding that they are the best creation sent to us after Rasulullah, and that we love them through the love of Allah, through the love of the Messenger, through to the love of Allah, then that form of love, brothers and sisters, will remain with us forever. And as we mark this night, the fifth night of the month of Muharram, what a night to talk about one of the greatest lovers of Ali Muhammad, whose name epitomized love, and that is none other than Habib ibn Madahir, one of the great Sahabi, not only of Imam Hussein, but Habib ibn Madahir is a man who was a Sahabi of Rasulullah. He was with the Prophet of Allah. He was with Amir al-Mu'mineen. He fought in the battles with Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was with Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And eventually he lost his life defending the family of the Prophet because of his love for Rasul, for the family of the Prophet on the day of Ashura. Habib ibn Madahir, brothers and sisters, is a unique character within the event of Karbala. You know, when we look at the events of Karbala on the day of Ashura, our scholars tell us, the ulama, the zakirin who come on this member, tell us that there is a role model for everybody in Karbala. When we look at our sisters within our community, they draw inspiration from ladies like Zainab, from Rubab. When our young girls look at Sakina, they draw inspiration. When the young men of our communities look at Karbala, they look towards Abul Fadl al-Abbas, the standard bearer of Imam Hussein, and we take inspiration from Hazrat Abbas. We look towards Hazrat Ali Akbar and the stand that he did on the day of Ashura. And even our young children, the babies who are in the cradles, who are in the laps of their mothers tonight, when they hear about Karbala, they take inspiration from Hazrat Ali Asgar. But tonight I focus on the elders of our community, the seniors of our community, those who are the pioneers of our organizations. Because when we look to Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, we realize that on the day of Ashura, on the day of Ashura, when young men were battling for the sake of Imam Hussein, here comes Habib ibn Madahir, a 70-year-old man who's born in Yemen, who migrates to Medina to be with Rasulullah. He lives his entire time with Rasulullah. He becomes a close friend. He becomes a friend of Imam Hassan, a friend of Imam Hussein. We're told that they used to sometimes play together in the streets of Medina. And who would have known that the same Habib, who was many years older than Imam Hussein, who was playing with him in the streets of Medina, would then be there one day to give his life for the cause of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Brothers and sisters, on this day, on the night before Ashura, when we transport ourselves to the night of Ashura, we read about Habib ibn Madahir. He was still in Kufa before the event of Karbala. A message had come to him from his Mawla Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein let him know that he had reached Karbala, but Habib realizes that the situation in Kufa is dire. The roads are all being closed. Ibn Ziyad has put patrols all over the city, but he knows he has to make it towards his Habib, towards his master. Eventually, Habib ibn Madahir, with the help of his servant, they make the way out of the city of Kufa by going in the darkness of the night. They eventually reach to the end of the city of Kufa. At that point, Habib tells his slave, he says, "You are free. You are free in the name of Allah." Habib's slave turns to him and he says, "Oh, my master," he says, "how can it be that you are going to save? You're going to give your life for the sake of the son of the messenger of Allah, and you want me to be free?" He says, "It can't be like this." Eventually, Habib makes his way out of the city of Kufa. He makes his way towards the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He's with Imam. Imam sees his old childhood friend and he welcomes him into the caravan, into the camp of Hussein. But what can Imam Hussein do? He has no water to give to Habib. He has no food to give to his old friend. All he has is to give him is the tears of sorrow of what will happen on the day of Ashura. The historians who write the books of Maqtal, of the tragedy of Karbala, mention that one scene that Lady Zainab goes into the tent of Imam Hussein. Lady Zainab is speaking to Sayyidul Shuhada. She's telling her brother, "Oh, my brother Hussein, have you tested your companions? Do you think that they will stand by you? Do they have that unwavering commitment to your cause?" We're told that one of the soldiers of Imam Hussein's army is outside of the tent. He hears the words of Lady Zainab. He rushes back into with the companions. And he tells Habib ibn Madahir, "Oh Habib, this is what Lady Zainab is saying. That do we have enough bravery to stand behind the son of Rasulullah on the day of Ashura?" We're told that they take their swords out and they rush towards the tent. And they make a proclamation that "we are ready by God to cut ourselves into pieces, to lose our lives for you." Eventually, brothers and sisters, on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram dawns. People have been going to the battlefield. Finally, Habib ibn Madahir, this old man of 70 years old, this old but very strong, brave man, makes his way. He asks Imam Hussein for the permission to make his way to the battlefield. Habib makes his way. Habib fights bravely on the field for defending his master. Eventually, Habib is attacked from multiple sides. Somebody hits Habib on the head with a sword. Another enemy comes and
speaks a spear within the chest of Habib ibn Madahir. Imam Hussein has seen this entire play go out. He knows this is the last time of Habib. Imam Hussein sees his Habib falling on the plains of Karbala. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Ya Allah, on this night where we mark the Shahadat of Habib ibn Madahir, we ask you to place the love of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad within our hearts. Ya Allah, we ask you for the tawfiq to be able to follow in the teachings of Ali Muhammad until we leave this world. Ya Allah, we ask you that you give all of us the ability and the strength to be the lovers of Ali Muhammad, and that we can be those who sacrifice our lives for them in this dunya to be with them in the akhirat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.